The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And it's Monday, a new week has begun, and what a week we think this is going to be. Thanks so much for your time, and let's get right to it with some headlines, and it's all about this fall. Where will the top QB battles stand? Where do they stand? We'll talk to Chris Lowe about that in a few minutes. Jalen Milroe certainly at the vanguard of one of the most hotly contested. Meanwhile, down on the plains, Hugh Freeze celebrating a couple of big hauls in the portal, one from Michigan State, the other one from Ohio State. He's raiding the Big Ten, and it could pay big dividends for the Auburn Tigers. Meanwhile, check out the end of the month. Yeah, Angel and Kim and the girls are heading to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Remember, there was a little bit of a kerfuffle over that. They'll be there with the UConn, the men's champion. No second place teams allowed. We are the champions. That's what they're singing on Rocky Top. How about the Tennessee Lady Vols softball won the SEC regular season, second time in history. And this is the bracket. The tournament has arrived. Fayetteville, tomorrow night, you'll see Mississippi State and Mizzou. That is a 7:30 game. And then the game's on pretty much all day Wednesday and Thursday and into the weekend. So what about the Alabama baseball situation? We talked about it all day on Thursday and Friday. Not the only one. There's some reports out there about Iowa right now. But what does it all mean, and how could this have happened? Chris Vanini joining us, always one of our great friends at The Athletic. Chris, thank you for joining us this afternoon. And we'll pick up the story right there. And where are we right now with Alabama, and what does it mean to the industry? I know you delve pretty deep into that subject. Good afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's really interesting timing. I was already working on a story about just gambling in college sports and where things are at, especially coming on the heels of, you know, five NFL players being suspended a couple weeks ago. I asked Greg Sankey about it 2 weeks ago at CFP meetings, and then the Alabama thing drops, and now maybe something with Iowa too. We don't know exactly what's going on there. And it's really highlighting, in the age of legalized sports gambling, just how many people can be just kind of attached to it, whether it's questionable activity or whether it's just a college kid placing a bet on a game that has nothing to do with their sport. So it really is an issue that's been front of mind for a lot of administrators for a couple of years since this happened. And now I think these one, maybe two incidents are really going to ramp up just kind of everything that goes into monitoring this stuff.
Yeah, Chris, we really haven't heard anything about the Alabama situation over the weekend, but you wonder, how could this happen? And nobody seems to know. What if any guardrails — that's a word administrators love, I don't know what it means — can you put into the system to try to prevent this from getting a lot worse than a coach? And we're talking about the players.
Well, the way this Alabama situation was caught was that the sports book in Cincinnati deemed it to be suspicious. Reportedly, the person may have been on the phone with the coach at the time, and that they flagged this group called U.S. Integrity, which is a monitoring service that works with basically every major pro sport. They work with the SEC, the Big 12, the Pac-12, some other schools, and they anonymize this information, send it out elsewhere to see what other sports books are seeing, potential suspicious bets. This Alabama thing was flagged within minutes, they said, and ultimately after a couple of days, it was determined to take down Alabama off of some of these boards. A few days after that the coach is fired. U.S. Integrity has a lot of tools at its disposal to monitor this stuff that wasn't able to be done when it wasn't legal. I mean, this type of stuff wasn't able to be done 5 years ago. Bringing it into the light, making it legal, makes it a lot easier to track. So the CEO of the company told me they flagged 10 to 15 things per month. There have been maybe 10 arrests or suspensions per month. That goes up a little bit as more sports allow it. And also they have this new beta program where schools, teams, whoever can put in a list of names on your team, on your staff, on your trainers, your whatever, And if those names pop up, if they try to place a bet somewhere on a domestic sports book that works with U.S. Integrity, it's instantly flagged. So a lot more tools are available now, especially just in the last couple of years, that were not before.
Chris, I'm sure a lot of this is way beyond most of our understanding. I know it's beyond mine. So how does it work? I mean, I know in this case, it was a big bet, but how do these systems set up to pick up anything that would lead to what you were just talking about?
It could be a lot of factors. It could be an abnormally large bet on an event that does not normally get large bets. I can't imagine there were many people in Cincinnati betting on the Alabama-LSU baseball game, especially when LSU being favored as the number one team in the country. They also look at the account. Is it a brand new account that just popped up and placed a big bet? That's going to draw a flag. Is it an account that was placing small bets over a period of time and then suddenly there's a big bet? That draws flags because the sports books want to catch this too. For one, they don't want to lose money if there's something suspicious going on. And two, they need the system to be legitimate. The 1994 Arizona State men's basketball point shaving scandal was discovered because the bookies in Nevada realized there's a lot of money going in Arizona State here, and they alerted the FBI and the authorities, and that's ultimately how that was discovered. So the commissions, the monitoring services, the sports books, they're all working together to try to catch this stuff.
Talking to Chris Vanini from The Athletic. Chris, just before we move on to some other topics, how big of a concern is it that with so much money going into the hands of the athletes nowadays and so much gambling going on among students being so pervasive on college campuses, does this lead into what we all fear, and that's another point shaving, some sort of scandal that rocks the sport?
It's a massive concern. I mean, the Tulane scandal in 1985 was orchestrated by some Tulane students who reined in some players. And yeah, I mean, there's reports that like 75% of college students have placed some kind of bet in the last year. That could be blackjack, that could be NCAA tournament, that could be whatever. It's never been more available. So schools are really trying to educate players on what is and isn't allowed. In college, you can't bet on any sport that's sponsored by the NCAA. And stern punishments. There was a Virginia Tech football player last year suspended for 9 games when he came forward and said, hey, I bet on the NBA finals. I didn't realize I couldn't do that. That was later reduced to 6 games. But that's still a pretty harsh penalty. You want to encourage kids who, hey, I made a mistake. You want to encourage them to come forward. But if it's something like betting on your own team to win, you have to come down very hard on that as well. So it's a lot of education, a lot of talking to players, explaining what the rules are and what they aren't, because, yeah, it's everywhere. It's never been easier to track, but it's never been easier to place a bet in the first place.
Chris, we normally talk to you about what happens on the field, not at the sports book, so I do want to get a quick question or two, and I hate to let you come in here without asking you about post-spring evaluations. A lot of topic here about Bama and the quarterback situation. Georgia, can they do it? We know Ohio State is loaded if you look at some of the pre-mock drafts. So what do you see coming out of spring at the top shelf?
I think among those three schools, it's really what the quarterback situation is. Alabama obviously didn't feel great enough about its situation, so it brought in Tyler Buckner. But Georgia with Carson Beck, I think looked pretty good. I think Alabama, you look at the quarterback situation, it's a lot of unknowns for fans and people who haven't seen these quarterbacks play before. But I think you got to feel really good if you're Georgia. Got to be kind of concerned if you're Alabama. In a bit the same with Ohio State. We know they have some really good receivers who can make up for it, but that's really the biggest question going into the college football season. Those three teams, the teams that make the playoff more than anybody else, are they going to have the quarterbacks or not? I think Georgia probably feels pretty good right now.
We always used to look at schools under the radar screen. Now it's just basically the question is cliche. Who is this year's TCU? It's an impossible question to answer, I understand, but who would you be most interested in that maybe makes a step up?
You know, the Big 12 is going to be hard because I think that conference is so jumbled together, but I know they get overhyped every year, but I'm really curious about Texas. Quinn Ewers has won the job. Quinn Ewers almost beat Alabama last year, maybe does if he doesn't get hurt. They have to replace the two running backs, but they've really built that offensive line the last couple of years where I think Texas could make some noise. I know they're not TCU, they're not under the radar because it's Texas, but it's a program that has not been at the highest level of college football in a very, very long time. And if Sark feels good enough about Quinn Ewers to name him the starter already, and he's healed and he's come back from the injury and everything he struggled with at the end of the year, and they're also going to have some really good players on defense. That defense should be much improved as well. So Texas might be a team to really keep an eye on there.
Chris Vanini joining us from The Athletic. Many, many thanks, Chris. It's always great to see you. We take a short break here, and we'll talk about what else we'll be doing. We're not done with the football topic. Chris Lowe will be joining us a little bit later on. Chris Bader on mental health. It is that time of the year. And what about the Auburn Tigers? Jesse Simonton from On3 will join us as well.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back on the program and look forward to talking to you at 855-242-7285. And let us begin with Bob in California. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, listen, I just had a couple quick. I just want to say love your program. Listen to it daily.
Thank you.
Pieces as I'm driving around. And you had a guest on the other day that I think the question came up about who you thought, and I just reason I called in on this is I respect your opinion tremendously. And the guest asked, you know, who you thought might be the most toxic collegiate sports program, and of course that generated from all the issues going on in Alabama. I knew where the guy was going, and if I remember correctly, you came back at him and said, you know, who do you think it is? But I never really heard what you thought.
I'm trying to remember what the caller thought, because I'm not
Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, anyway. I mean, the caller was leading you down the rabbit hole.
Okay.
Because the discussion with that caller was around the issues going on in Alabama and so forth.
And just so I understand, because I really, maybe I'd misunderstood the caller. Was he talking about the program or the fan base?
The fan base. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Fan base, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I do remember it now. and I think it's something that changes. I mean, I have dealt with a lot of them in the past. And, you know, at various times, 6-7 years ago, I thought it was Michigan's fan base because of the Harbaugh criticism and the program was doing so poorly. Now that they're doing great, you don't hear it anymore. Texas, when I mean Texas's fan base can be angry. Alabama's, Florida's. I mean, And I'm not giving you a political answer because, frankly, if I had one, I would give it. But right. it really depends on – this is not like politics where – you know, you're either dealing with an extreme on the left or an extreme on the right. And by the way, I've dealt with that. I've dealt with that in on the political front, too, but based on things I've said. And neither side has anything over the other when you get to the extreme fringe.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right. No, I hear you loud and clear. You know, I get where you're coming from. My second quick question is this. Topic has been around the discussion on the radio about the Alabama baseball program. And what's going on there. And naturally, it came up in some of the guests you've had and so forth. Do you think this is the only instance? Right? And the answer, the generic answer across the board is, well, all the sports bookings are checking it, and, you know, there's no evidence of it right now. And the thought comes to mind, I'm in my 60s. I've watched sports my whole life. And lived through and witnessed, you know, a lot of the scandals that have occurred. And the first thing that came to mind to me, analogy, was, yeah, a lot of people thought Barry Bonds was the only one taking steroids.
Yeah, Bob, I doubt this is it in college baseball. There was a report this afternoon that Iowa. They've stopped. Two players have been held out. I think it's pretty – I don't think it's widespread, but I do think college athletes, if you checked every single one, would be you would find a few. And as far as coaches, though, I'm very surprised by the coaching, by the coach here. Because yeah. That is something that is monitored fairly closely. I mean, I don't know what goes on in athletic departments. But right. I would think there's a pretty tight rein, or there should be, on the staff. And that's why I'm not blaming anyone. If this is a one-off, then it's just something you couldn't detect. I mean, listen, we've had top officials in the FBI who have been selling secrets to Russia for 20 years. And that's having them work at the most intense investigative organization in the world. So these things can happen.
Right. I mean, last thing I'll say is that it's obvious, you know, I mean, sports betting is so prevalent now. You know, when you've got the NFL, remember the days when, you know, you had the NBA and you had that one coach who was betting on, referee who was betting on NBA games. They did the 60 minutes on them, and the rules were no referees could be, you know, within so many miles of a gambling casino, right? During the season. And then they found out so many referees were breaking the rules, they just did away with that rule.
Yeah, Bob, I'm having a little difficulty with your connection, but I clearly appreciate your call. And I think it's a big issue. I mean, people bet. And it's never been easier to bet. It used to be tough. I mean, you had to know somebody at the corner bookie, to use a cliche. You had to know someone, and you took tremendous risks. Although I wonder if it's not easy. I think it is easier to detect, as I ask myself and answer the same question, because you know whether if you're doing it on a mobile device, that could be detected in about a nanosecond. If you're calling somebody at a sports book, I mean, there's almost no way to keep it out of people's purview. John is in Louisville. Hey, John.
Yeah, I was betting this weekend at the race.
I bet. I bet you were.
We actually did well again because, you know, they scratched five horses. I think as many as seven horses died in the last 10 days as well. So there were really no favorites, and we scored well with the Monte, and we scored well in the trifecta. You know, we bet on a number of horses, but those two came through like last year's horse.
Yeah, I kept my eye on it, but I will say that I've never been less interested in a Derby, and maybe it was just all the deaths chilled my enthusiasm for it.
Right, there are no clear favorites. By the way, before I move on, sending my best to Hanson Joe. I know he's tomorrow. He's got that scheduled endoscopy. as opposed to a colonoscopy, but they're actually very easy to go through. There's no pain. So
now
I'm hoping,
John, the endoscopy, is that, are they, I've never had one, thank goodness. So what is that?
Down the throat.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Down your throat.
I take it back. I spoke too soon. I have had that.
And the other, I'm sure, at your age.
Just once.
And they're pretty pain-free. So, hey, one other quick item before I ask you a question. At the same time the bets were made in Cincinnati, U.S. Integrity also discovered bets being made up in Indiana. So there may have been more than one instance of betting on that game.
There may have been, but what I find interesting right now is that we know no more today than we did Friday.
Right. Paul, question. The Jeremy Pruitt situation, when's that scheduled to get resolved? That's one question. Second question is, when do we get the SEC schedule put out for next year?
I would say we'll know Pruitt's case by early summer. As far as next year's schedule, that normally comes out in spring, early summer, doesn't it? Or does it, or that,
yeah,
during the season?
We'll
be in Destin in a couple of weeks. I'll find out. Up against a break. Thank you for the call. We head to the break, and more guests will drop by, including Chris Lowe. We'll talk to him in just a few minutes.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. As we say hello to Dr. Mel from Alabama. Hello, Dr. Mel.
Hey, Paul. How are you all this evening?
We are doing really great.
Great, great. A couple of months ago, I sat down one evening. And of course, I had several sons that played college or collegiate sports. And it's become a daily part of our vocabulary. And so I sit with the pen and wrote a few words, and it's entitled The Portal, a little poem, only take a couple of minutes. What is the loyalty? I don't know. The portal is open so I can go. My dad, uncle, brothers were dogs. The portal is open. I may become a hog. The portal and NIL has given us so many choices. If we don't like the coaches, delete their voices. The portal is open, so I better play. I won't ride the pine. I'll find a new college to play. We now have our cake, and we are eating it too. Forget the NCAA and all the coaches we once knew. What is loyalty? I don't know. I have the portal, so I can go. My dreams are big, don't tell me so. A better NIL deal? Brother, I'm ready to go. Coaches leave when the deal is right. I'm entering the portal, so I'll say goodnight. I'm entering the portal, where will I land? I hope not cold rain, but beaches with white sand. I've exhausted my eligibility, where did the time go? I entered the portal. Because loyalty, I don't know.
William Butler Yeats, right here.
Wow. And so I wrote those few words because, as you and I know sports, and you've been around for many, many years, you're the consummate expert. we've never seen anything like it. We need regulation. Regulation is out of control. The portal, the NIL. And so the commissioners with the Secretary of State, we certainly don't need the government involved in it, but it's a widespread problem, and there's just not any loyalty anymore. Young men, when they played for a university or college, that was their home state, even on the next level, the professional level. And so nowadays, if a person is not happy, not getting enough dollars, then not about working hard anymore, putting 110%. So trade me off, and here I go. So we're in a mess, but I thank you for addressing the issue, and hopefully we'll see where the NCAA can wake up, which I doubt, with the new leadership, and they can address this major problem we have that's about to destroy our collegiate sports. Thank you, Paul, for your time.
Thank you very, very much, Dr. Mel. I thought it was very good.
That was good.
The places we go that we don't know. Oh, Logan, my friend, please come in.
Hey.
The attention.
Hey, my Uncle Paul. I'm your nephew, according to you and Jeff, so I can start calling you Uncle Paul. I won't do that to you, Paul. But, yeah, thanks for defending me with Jeff the other day. You know, that's my least favorite caller on the show, so you have my back, buddy, and I appreciate
that. Well, I will
that.
Always but, have your back against those instigators from the north.
That's right, Paul. Thank you, sir. Well, I just wanted to talk a little bit about gambling, Paul, and let me just say that I don't gamble. The extent of my gambling, I guess, is playing a baseball fantasy league for $20. But, like, just listening to your first guest, I never grew up in a home where my pops gambled, so I've never been a gambler. I don't have friends that gamble, and it just seems dirty to me. Like, I can't imagine being a fan of a team and betting either on that team or against that team. It seems like it would just mess up the whole enjoyment of the game. And, I mean, even when I have fantasy players on other teams playing against my team, I feel myself pulling for that, and it makes me feel sick to my stomach. It's just a terrible feeling.
No, it's an interesting psychology, Logan, and I know people that use gambling as a reason to watch sports, not the opposite, but people do crazy things, and I know a lot of folks who gamble, and that's – it gives them a thrill. Do you gamble, Randy?
No.
Okay. What are you over there?
Good job,
doing?
Randy. I think that.
I don't know why I see the fifth duck of the fifth race at Aqueduct up on Randy's computer right now, but he doesn't gamble.
So.
And they're off.
That's awesome. Randy's horse got scratched on from the Kentucky Derby. He was going to go for old. I can't remember the name of the horse, but he got scratched.
But Logan, let's say whatever game is tonight, the Lakers and the Warriors. Are you watching that game tonight?
I'll probably watch some of it.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
Well,
of it.
If you had $20 on it, would you watch it? Would you be more inclined to watch it? And I think therein lies the answer. I mean, I've been to plenty of sports books and people are going crazy. And I really feel fortunate that I've never gotten into it, because I know people in my industry who do gamble, and there is a line that I think you cross when you're privy to certain things, and then you employ that information to try to make a buck.
Well, I wasn't even thinking about that, Paul, but that is interesting that there's people in your industry that do that. I mean,
I would say a reasonable amount of people in my business gamble. Wouldn't you, Randy?
Wow.
I don't know who was here last week, but they left their tip sheet right here.
Well, we were talking about, you're going to be talking about mental health, but I think a lot of that's addiction, too. I think it's probably undiagnosed addiction. I mean, people that gamble on it, it's crazy.
Yeah, like is there a difference between gambling, taking drugs, or drinking to excess?
Yeah, exactly. There's no difference, Paul. You're right about that. And I mean that. I guess.
I have an addiction as well, Logan.
Yes, sir.
It's to the callers.
All right. Well, right on, Paul. I'm glad you're addicted to us, man. I'm pretty much addicted to listening to the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise, how could any of us do this every day?
Exactly. We got to have something wrong with us,
we're
right?
We're codependent.
Right? 4 hours every day. Right.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks, Logan. Glad we got you through that. Matt is up next.
Hey, brother. How you doing, Mr. Paul Feinbaum? How's your day going, man?
Very well, Matt.
I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about this upcoming football season with A&M, but I want to talk to you about mental health first. Paul, I understand mental health because I told you about my past, but what we can do as a country to take care of mental health a lot better, I'm asking you as well.
Matt, what has been your biggest struggle to this point?
I think my biggest struggle on my point is letting go of some regrets. I only have one or two. Holding on to the past. I'm not having a lot of confidence in myself still.
Right. Well, I think you've identified one of everyone's biggest problems is some, you know, whatever we do in our life, some people just cannot move from one point to the next because of whatever happened or what didn't happen. Usually what didn't happen.
Yes. And that's just being honest with you there. I mean, my one biggest regret I still have is I wish I could have pushed myself harder in school, but I didn't, and I have to make up for it now in life. And
it's the oldest cliche in the world, but it's also very true. It's never too late to move forward.
Yeah. Yeah,
unless
true.
It is
if
too
I get
late.
To meet you and Paul Feinbaum at a College Station this year, you want to have a blue Hawaiian with me, you and Randy?
What kind of, what was that again?
It's called a blue Hawaiian drink.
A blue Hawaiian. Randy, you like blue Hawaiian?
Yes. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll, it's on us, Randy. We'll put it on the corporate credit card.
Absolutely.
Don't tell anybody that we're charging at the ESPN. We'll take a short break. We'll charge the whole trip. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Great to have all of you here. We'll talk to Chris Lowe in a few minutes. Greg is in Mississippi, and you're on the air. Hello, Greg.
Take him a call, buddy.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. By the way, Mississippi State Bulldogs got swept by Arkansas, so we're still running down there. But anyway, didn't call to unload on Alabama or anything. But Brian Haydaddy, Richard Cross, do some games there on y'all's channel, baseball games. And he had brought the fact Friday about he remembered it kind of triggered me going back to the Alabama series because we had lost 16 series in a row here at State, and we went to Alabama and, you know, somehow or another won that one. But anyway, the first game is on Thursday night. The guy comes in for Alabama, top of the first. I mean, it's 1-2-3. Coach Mohammed takes him out. All of a sudden, we got a guy throwing, you know, mid-70s or something. I'm playing, thank you, Lord. We won that series, and then we, you know, kind of, just kind of like I said, kind of went downhill from there. But anyway, I think this goes a lot deeper than what people have. I mean, at least I think Pete Rose at least bet on his team and not like this cat.
Yeah, Greg, Pete Rose always said, and I did an interview with him right after he got out of prison, that he only bet on his team. Now, whether you believe a word Pete Rose says is open for debate. Rick is up next in Florida. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Paul.
Hi there.
Hey, I was just wanting to ask you a question I've been wanting to ask for a while. You're all these Alabama fans. I'm a big Georgia fan, and you hear them say that Kirby Smart's success is because of working under Nick Saban. I just kind of feel like Nick Saban wouldn't have won the championships without Kirby Smart as a defensive coordinator, and I was wondering your opinion of it.
It's impossible to know. I think he had a great program. I think Kirby Smart played the biggest role, but had Kirby Smart left after a couple of years, Nick Saban would have plugged that hole. with someone like Jeremy Pruitt or someone else. So I think it's possible he would have won a few. I mean, he's won, let me think, he's won two national championships without Kirby Smart.
Yeah, I was trying to figure those dates out.
Well, Kirby left after the 2015 season, and Saban won in 2017, obviously against Kirby Smart, and he won in 2020.
Yeah, but don't you think some of those players were still Georgia, Kirby coached players?
Well, sure. Some of the ones in 2017 would have been, not the ones in 2017, in 2020.
Did they win? Yeah, they won it in 2020. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, that was the COVID year.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
By the way, a lot of people will debate the COVID year, and that's fine with me. It doesn't matter. But it counts as a national championship. Marcus is in North Carolina. Hello, Marcus.
Hey, how's it going, Paul? I want to respond to an individual moments ago talking about the gambling, and I guess he was mentioning that he can't gamble on sports because he feels that he's doing a discredit to his team or his favorite team.
Right.
I believe that the gambling and you know makes it more interesting. You know, there's actually a lot of people out there who weren't into certain sports. Now it gives them an avenue to jump into sports, just to include fantasy, for example. You know, you can't really draft your entire team on fantasy, so you pick your favorite players. Now, obviously, some people follow teams, but there's a lot of people out here who follow players rather than teams. And I think there's a difference between, you know, just having a team specifically and gambling, and then just, you know, following your players. What do you think about that?
Yeah, Marcus, I have no problem with anyone who does anything like that, but I think you're right. Fantasy is a huge industry. I mean, just look at the NFL on Sunday morning. You have a number of fantasy shows on guiding people. It's gambling is like anything else. Is gambling worse or better than putting money in the stock market, which almost everybody has in some form or fashion?
Yeah.
I mean, you may say, well, I don't trade stocks. I have it in my 401k. Well, it may be different. I mean, you may argue it's different than being a day trader, but you're still putting money in something where you have almost no control over the outcome.
Exactly. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a long debate that I think the question that is unanswerable, though, is if you took gambling out of sports, how much of the audience would go with it? And you know, Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football is often predicated. The line matters. And I've never tried to shy away from it because I don't believe a pulpit like this is where you should, speak on moral virtue. This is a sports show, and gambling has been a part of sports since all of us have been alive. Trey is up next. Hello, Trey.
Hey, Paul, I'd like to give Matt some advice, if I may, because I've been through quite a lot in my lifetime. Matt, I left my number with the caller if you need to call me. Matt, I think you need to learn that you can't forget what has happened to your past. You have to learn from it. But you also need to trust in God. And when you get up in the morning, myself, Paul, I tell myself I have to be better today than I was yesterday in everything that I do. And I've been through a lot, so I take every day very seriously, and I don't worry about tomorrow, what has happened to me in my past. And Matt, one other thing, don't ask God to fix something for you. Ask him to give you the strength to get through what you're going through, and you just be the best person you can be, and I think you'll live a great life because you got to trust in the Lord. And I just wanted to give you some advice.
Well, Trey, I'm glad you did. I hope very much that he will contact you. That would be a benefit for him. James is up next.
Paul, how you doing?
Okay, James.
Well, went to Acworth Saturday.
Yeah, how'd it go?
Drove through Auburn, Paul. You ever been to a Buc-ee's?
In fact, I drove past one the other day in Birmingham. But I have been to one in I believe I've been to one in Texas though. They're unbelievable. These are gas stations. where they have about 100 different 100 pumps.
It's incredible.
Yeah, they
are. I mean, it's like a whole community.
Yeah, no, we stopped once and went in one, and I was supposed to have great food, great brisket, great sandwiches, great everything.
It's interesting, especially if you like crowds of people.
Yeah, well, I do.
120 gas pumps.
120 gas pumps.
Exit 50, I-85 north, and of course, I-85 south as well. You know how many electric charging stations they had?
I would not know, no.
Would you care to guess?
100.
Zero. Place has been
good.
There a month.
Support Buc-ee's. You ever been to one of these places?
Yeah.
They are ridiculous. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.